Happy Resurrection Day. My name is Paul Oshesky, and I'm the youth pastor here at Celtis, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for worship on this Easter Sunday. If you're a member, thank you for continuing to worship with us in this format. If you're a guest, welcome. We're glad that you found us and that you are worshiping with us as well. One thing that we always do every Easter is that one of our pastors leads us in a call and response. And that call and response starts with the pastor saying, "He is risen," and with a congregation following up with, "He is risen indeed." And so here in a moment, I'm going to say that. And right there in your homes or on your phones or your computers, comment back with, "He is risen indeed." But participate in the service in that way. So let's practice right now. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Very good. Glad that you guys are participating in that way. A few things we want to let you know about our service. This being Easter, we're going to have a few special things for you guys. So make sure that you're staying tuned and paying attention all throughout the service, as we will have a few special pieces that we don't have in our normal services. But we do ask that you would take this time seriously, as we ask every week. We ask that you would take a moment, that you would set aside all distractions, and set aside this time to be able to worship the Lord together as a family. If now is not a good time for you to do that, then set aside time later in your day when you are able to put aside those distractions and worship the Lord as a family. A few things about our service we want you to participate in. As Pastor Danny reads and prays here in a few moments, open up your Bibles and read along with him. As Pastor Dave leads us in worship through song, sing along. The words will be right there on your screen, so you won't have to look them up, and you can sing right along in your homes. As Pastor Mark preaches, take notes. Read along as out of the passage that he's preaching from. Participate in the service. And lastly, as Pastor Aaron shares some announcements after the sermon, pay attention to those. Those are very important to what's going on within the life of our church. And he's also going to share with you our weekly mission prayer partner and how you can be praying for them. Thank you for joining us. We miss you guys. He is risen. Excellent. We miss you. We love you. We're praying for you.
Hi, I'm Hannah.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Kristen.
This is Patch, and I'm Bill Adams.
Morning, church family. I'm Sport Carl, and this is my son, Kent.
Hey, church family. We're the Stewarts.
Good morning, Celties. We're the Jarvis family. If you don't know us, my name's Adam. This is Ashton, my daughter, Heidi, and Reese, and that's my son, Lincoln.
Happy Easter, church family. We're Don and Lindley Hannibus, and we miss seeing you all.
Even though these aren't the best circumstances for an Easter Sunday, they are a blessing to us because we know that we are all sharing the Easter Sunday message together.
We love you and we miss our church family. We're praying for all of you. Welcome to our Easter service.
And we want to welcome you to Celtis First Baptist Church, and we hope that you have a happy Resurrection Day.
We're rejoicing with you today as we celebrate our risen Savior.
Join with us as we worship our risen Savior.
We love you all. We miss you all. And we want to ask you to please continue to pray for one another. Happy Easter.
We love you and we miss you all. We want to wish you a happy Easter today and every day. And we hope to see you soon.
Well, good morning, church family. Today, our scripture reading will be in the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 33 through 47. While you're turning there, let me just say, we're in a season where we need great hope. And I can think of no greater hope than in the resurrection that we find in Jesus Christ. It's through this resurrection that we're celebrating today. And quite frankly, we should be celebrating every day, because it's through the resurrection that we have assurance of our own resurrection, both spiritually and bodily. So let's see what Luke chapter 24 has to say about the resurrection. Read with me, beginning in verse 33. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have."
And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, each in our own households, separated physically but bound in unity of spirit, we pray that your name will be honored and glorified. We thank you for the salvation that was planned before the foundations of the earth, that was orchestrated through your divine providence and governance, that was spoken to us in Scripture, and it was purchased for us on the cross by your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the victory over death and sin, and the eternal life that was purchased for us by your Son, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Father, as your Scripture just said, that you opened their minds to the Scripture, may you open our minds this morning as well. And may you also give us a boldness to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the resurrection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now join with us in worship as Pastor Dave leads us.
Well, we certainly want to sing songs that remind us of our resurrected Lord. And this first song is a classic hymn. It's a hymn that reminds us first of his death and how he died for us, but that death was not in vain. He rose again, and that's what we're going to sing now. We're going to celebrate as we sing, "Christ Arose."
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his thanks to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my
Well, next we want to sing a song that has become a favorite not just in our churches, but churches all over the world. And this song reminds us of the hope that we have through Christ. It is only through Christ that we can have hope for an eternity with God. And this song tells the entire story of how to gain that hope through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. So sing with us and let's celebrate together in Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving ceased. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. In mercy, Lord, in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me.
Hi, Pastor Mark here. Happy Easter Resurrection Sunday. It's good to be with you and to come into your home today. I just want to take some time to teach about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll join me. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and take them and find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, on a day like today, where our normal practices are anything but normal, we may be tempted to think that we really haven't had Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, whatever we call it. But the reality is that the believer's entire faith, our entire theology, our entire doctrine of the gospel is built upon this truth of the resurrection. You know, there's an old cliche that says, the believer celebrates the resurrection not just one day a year, but every day. And that cliche is true. Friends, we may not be together today, not in person. We may not be able to see each other, what we're wearing, what we're doing, but we are celebrating the central truth of our faith, that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, that he died a substitutionary death for us, and that he is resurrected, living, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and coming again. So Let me just say, no matter where you are, this is a great day. You know, I can imagine that the very first Easter Sunday, when the disciples got up on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and they went to the tomb. Can you imagine how awkward that day was? I mean, whatever we're facing today, that day was even more awkward. I mean, number one, when the ladies got up and went to the tomb early in the morning, they thought they were going to basically present spices and, you know, a rudimentary embalming method for their master, their Lord, who they thought was dead. When the apostles and the other disciples learned about the possibility of a resurrection, they thought somebody had stolen his body. They were in fear of the Roman authorities, of the persecution of the Jews. They felt like they had lost everything. That morning, that first Easter morning, was dark and dismal, but it ended on a high note. And I hope that wherever you are today, whatever you're feeling, that if you got up and it is a dark day for you, it's a sad day for you, that it ends on hope and promise that Jesus Christ has conquered death, and he's conquered it for all those who believe in him. So today, I want to talk about why the resurrection is central to our faith, why the resurrection is central to our faith. And to do that, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this is not one of the gospel narratives about the resurrection. Those are great. They have their place. But what this passage is a central teaching on what the resurrection is, on why the resurrection matters. It's the Apostle Paul. He's talking to the church at Corinth, these believers who have written to him to clarify some of the key truths of the gospel. And he's helping them understand what the resurrection is, why it's important. So today, what I want to do is just take some selected passages in 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to point out, number one, what the resurrection is. So we're just going to talk about what it is, why we celebrate this day. And the second truth that I want to just point out, that Paul points out in the passage, is why we should celebrate this day, why believers think this day is so important, so great, and so key to their faith. So let's do that together. Let's go to point number one. Let's take our scriptures. Let's open them up to 1 Corinthians 15. And let's talk about what this day is all about, what we celebrate, the basics. Now, as you open the scripture and you come to 1 Corinthians 15, you're going to come particularly to verses 3 and 4. And right here, the Apostle Paul tells us what this day is really all about. Let me just read that passage of scripture with you. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, Paul says, "For I delivered to you first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures." Now, do you notice a couple of things when you read verses 3 and 4? First of all, Paul wants you to know that everything that happened in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus was not random. It had been foretold in the Old Testament. It had been foretold in the scripture. And so everything that happened, happened according to God's plan, according to the scriptures, according to what had been prophesied. So this is fulfillment of the Old Testament. But also notice Paul makes a key point here. He says, "I delivered to you what I received from the Holy Spirit, what I received from teaching, what I received from Christ himself, and that is the gospel, the whole gospel." He didn't just deliver to them the resurrection. He delivered to them that Christ died for their sins, and that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again on the third day. Now, this is what we celebrate. We celebrate the whole, the complete gospel on this particular day. We're reminded of the whole gospel every day, but on this particular day. And the whole gospel is not just that Jesus was resurrected. Now, let me just stop here and kind of explain why I'm making a big deal about this. I'm making a big deal because I think Paul makes a big deal about it here in 1 Corinthians 15, but this is really important to me as a pastor. You know, sometimes we come together, I've been guilty of this, I don't think there's necessarily much wrong with it, but we'll come together on an Easter Sunday, And we'll say, first of all, let's not call it Easter Sunday, let's call it Resurrection Sunday. And there's good reasons for that. People want to make sure that we're not glorifying pagan deities where the word Easter may have come from. First of all, let me just defend the word Easter. Let me give you a little bit of hope. I researched that. And there's a great Time magazine article on this from April 15th, 2017, where they tried to trace the etymology of the word Easter. And pretty much what they think, this is just a little freebie here, they think that it's a German word for East. Now, there are some who say it could have been an English word for a goddess named Esoteri, but there's not a lot of evidence for that. There's not a lot of proof for that. More than likely, it was a German word for dawn or sunrise or east. Now, it's hard to really know where the word came from because we're talking a millennium here. We're talking the etymology of words, the morphing of words and phrases. The French had the word Pascal, which stood for resurrection. We still retain that in our language. The Germans probably had the word meant east. But here's something that I found really interesting, and then I'll move on from this. It used to actually be an English verb. The word Easter was an English verb. Now, it's not used today, but it was a secular word, and it meant to turn or move east. So when you said Easter in a sentence as a verb, it meant to turn or to move east, to look towards the sunrise, to look towards the dawn. And I think that's pretty fitting to call this day Easter because we are looking towards the sunrise when on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the sun rose, the disciples went to the tomb, Christ rose, right? So you can call it Easter. It's fine if you call it Easter. It's not the end of the world. What I'm concerned about, though, is when we only talk about the resurrection. Now, don't nail me to the cross just yet and say that I'm a heretic because I'm throwing out the resurrection. I'm not throwing out the resurrection, okay? What I'm pointing out is the resurrection is only part of the story, right? You can't separate the resurrection from the life, from the death, from the burial of Christ, and from the second coming of Christ. They all really go together. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I've been concerned because you know that there's people, and I'm not judging these people. I'm glad they come on Easter Sunday, but they'll only come on Easter Sunday, right? And they'll miss our Good Friday communion. And all they hear from us is, Jesus rose, hallelujah, Jesus rose. And yes, we're thrilled Jesus rose, right? But we've got to explain to them why resurrection's important. You can't separate the resurrection from the life and the death and the burial of Jesus. So like Paul says, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. He says, I delivered to you the gospel, the whole message, the complete truth of Easter Sunday. That is Jesus Christ, the God-man who was perfect, who lived the law of God, that Jesus completed the law, that he covered our sins through his death on the cross, and he paid the cost of sin. Isn't that amazing? Jesus did really three things with his entire life, with the entire message of the gospel. He completed the law of God. I mean, that's what the scripture says, that what Jesus did is Galatians 1:4, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. He lived. Ephesians 2:15 and 16. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments, consisting in ordinances, for to make in himself one new man, making peace, that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity. Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Galatians 3:13, he redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. 1 Peter 2:24, his own self bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Colossians 1:14, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What's the point? The point is what Paul is saying, it's all of these things. You don't separate them. You don't just talk about Jesus rose from the grave. You talk about how Jesus completed the law of God. He lived a perfect life. He was obedient completely. His obedience met the demands of God. But he not only completed the law of God, he covered our sin through his death on the cross, through his blood that was shed. And then, because the wages of sin is death, he paid the cost of death. His resurrection shows us that he paid the cost and he conquered death. That's the complete gospel. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. So let me just encourage you, don't be afraid of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this day. You know, sometimes we're guilty because other denominations have focused on the death of Christ. I remember growing up, I had some relatives who were Catholic, and they would always have a cross with Jesus on the cross. So, like right now in our community, if you go to CHI St. Luke's, which is a Catholic-owned hospital, you'll notice on the walls there is a crucifix with Jesus hanging on the cross. That's a very Roman thing. And, you know, it just emphasizes the death of Christ. Now, as Protestants, we're always afraid of that. If you look in our sanctuary, we have a cross, but we don't have Jesus on it. And the reason we don't have Jesus on it is because we want to emphasize he's not on the cross, he's risen. Well, that's good, right? Yes, that's fine. But you know what? What I want to just throw out is we don't need to be afraid of the death either of Christ. We need to emphasize the death of Christ that covers our sins. We need to rejoice in that covering. He was a substitutionary sacrifice. He atoned for our sin. And that message is absolutely essential to Easter Sunday. You cannot have resurrection without the covering of the blood of Jesus that saved us from our sins. And then, my friend, then and only then does the resurrection make sense. He paid the cost of sin, and that was death. And he conquered death by rising again. That is what we celebrate on this day. We celebrate the whole gospel. He lived, he died, he was buried, he was resurrected, he is coming again. And that is what Paul says right here to the Corinthians, the full gospel, the good news. That's why later he'll say in this chapter, if you don't believe the resurrection, then our gospel is in vain. The good news, the whole fact of the gospel. You know, if you think about the writers of Scripture, those men who wrote the New Testament, when they talk about salvation, they'll include this multifaceted, complete picture. For example, and I'll end with this first point, Paul in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, he says, and this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, he says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, stop right there and just think about that. It first takes to be saved a confession that Jesus is deity, that he is God, that he is Lord, that he has lived a righteous and perfect life, that he has had passive obedience and active obedience to the will of God. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he says, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. So see, he goes from the lordship of Christ, the life of Christ, all the way to the resurrection, that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. It's the whole gospel. It's how we're saved. We confess and we believe these truths. Well, as I end this first point on what we're celebrating today, is this what you're celebrating today? Can I just ask you that question? Are you celebrating the whole gospel of Jesus Christ? Not just that he rose from the grave, but that he covered your sin, that he made you right with God, that he abolished the enmity and the separation between you and God the Father, and covering your sin, conquering death to pay for your sin, and he's coming again. Is that what you celebrate today? Well, if it's not, then our prayer is that you'll be born again. You'll be born new. You'll be spiritually resurrected, so to speak, today by calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Well, that's what we're celebrating. Stick around in a moment. I'm going to come back to point number two, why we celebrate this day. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15. But before I do that, I just want to take a moment and introduce you to some more of our church members. We've tried to just litter this service today with God's people who have testified warm greetings of welcome. And now what I want to do is just let you hear from some brothers who have been special to me this year. I've been meeting with them each week, discipling discipling them. You're hearing from them about why the resurrection is important. So take a listen to this and then join us back for point number two, why the resurrection matters.
I'm thankful for the resurrection because it gives us hope.
Because it reminds me that I'm dead in my sin and alive in Christ.
Because he took away our sins.
Because it allows me to have an intimate relationship with God.
Because he died on the cross.
Because it shows his power and majesty.
Because he was willing to die for us.
Because 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that without it, our faith is futile. But because of it, we have hope.
Hi, we're Bobby and Meredith Bird, and the resurrection is important to us because when we reflect on the cross, we're reminded of who we were before Christ. We were broken sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life in which we couldn't live and died on a cross in which we deserved, and he rose again on the third day.
And because he rose again and he has conquered death, we are forever grateful that we can have eternal life through him.
Well, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that testimony from our brothers. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to point number two. So not only do we want to know what we're celebrating today, the whole gospel, but secondly, we want to know why believers think that this day is so crucial and so key to the faith. So back in 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll look at verse 12, that's where we're going to start on this second point. I want to just cover two key aspects under why this truth of the resurrection, of the gospel account of Easter, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the coming again of Jesus is so important to our faith. Should be pretty obvious, but just two things Paul points out. First of all, Paul wants you to know that this is important because it shows us that Jesus conquered his own death physically. Secondly, he wants you to know that because Jesus conquered his own death physically, that applies to us. Our death can be conquered physically, spiritually, if our faith and our trust is in Christ alone. So let's just break both of those down. First of all, he wants to point out to the Corinthian people that Christ conquered his own death physically. He physically was resurrected in bodily form. Now, this is a key point here. Look at verse 12. He says, "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" Now, let's be really clear about the argument Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 15. A lot of people get this wrong, but if you study it in context, you're going to get it right. They think wrongly that the Corinthian church, which we know from the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, was made up of spiritual, born-again, redeemed people, okay? They think, often when they glance at this in 1 Corinthians 15, that Paul is saying that they're doubting the resurrection of Jesus. They are not doubting the resurrection of Jesus. That is not their problem. What they're doubting, if you notice, is that they are doubting the resurrection of the dead. In other words, themselves, the believer. Now, their thought here, and this is really complicated to follow, but it makes total sense when you read it, the whole chapter together. They could buy that Jesus was raised. Maybe he was different. Maybe he was unique. Maybe he was raised physically. But I think also some of them were thinking maybe he was only raised spiritually. And you got to remember that in their culture, there were two major streams of thought. I mean, first of all, you had the Sadducees among the Jews who did not believe in a resurrection at all. And there may have been some who had been influenced by Sadducee thought. Now, there were the Pharisees who did believe in a resurrection, but the Sadducees certainly didn't. And they were a pretty strong ruling party. But you also had Hellenistic thought, Greek thought that had permeated the Jews as well. You had Hellenistic Jews. And Greek thought always taught that the body was material, and anything material, anything physical was bad, and only the spirit would survive death, not the body, and only that which was spiritual was good. And you read a lot of things when you read like Plato, he talks about these sorts of things. This was very, very much into Greek thought. Now, there's no doubt that some of that influenced these early Christians. We know, for example, that when Jesus did actually rise, and he came and stood among the disciples, Luke, in chapter 24 records an interesting comment. Luke 24, 36 to 37 says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and they were frightened, and they supposed they had seen a ghost or a spirit." In other words, they didn't doubt that Jesus had risen, but they may have doubted he physically rose from the grave, that maybe it was more just a spiritual rising. And we know that's really their problem, because Paul labors through the rest of 1 Corinthians 15 to describe to these Christians that they too are going to physically rise from the dead. So like verses 35 to 49, he spends a huge portion of the chapter talking about their new bodies that will be physically resurrected. And he says, look, what you put in the ground is not what's going to come up. It's like a seed. And when you plant a seed, it's one thing, but when it rises, it's something totally different. And he's laboring in this chapter to explain to these people, you are going to have a physically resurrected, incorruptible body. Don't be deceived. Then he goes on to kind of conclude, and he says, look, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised incorruptible. That's 1 Corinthians 15:52. His whole argument is that they are going to have a physical resurrection. In other words, the Corinthian believers doubted their own physical resurrection. Now, whether they thought Jesus had physically risen from the dead or only spiritually risen, I kind of think they only thought he spiritually rose. I think that's why Luke says what he says in Luke 24. I think that's why Thomas said later, I will only believe if I can physically touch the wounds. Until then, I don't believe. You know, I think he's a ghost. I think he's a spirit. I don't think he's real. I think that Hellenistic thought had kind of invaded their lives. That Sadducee thought had kind of invaded their lives. But here Paul is saying to these Christians in Corinth, who definitely were Greek influenced. Corinth was a Greek city, now under Roman control. He's saying to them, don't buy into that, okay? Jesus didn't just rise spiritually. And when you die, you're not just going to rise spiritually. You know, that's key, because in church history, as history progressed, there were always people who debated Jesus. They said that he wasn't, you know, real, that he wasn't physical, that he didn't have a physical resurrection. So that even played out later in church history. And, you know, even in our time, in the last 150 years, there's been scholars who have said, let's not focus on the real resurrection of Jesus. We don't really think that happened. You know, I think about some scholars, and I could name their names, like Friedrich Schleiermacher. What a name, right? He said, let's not focus on the supernatural. Let's focus on what the story teaches us. So I don't believe he would kind of summarize that Jesus actually rose from the dead, but I do believe there's a moral there for us. There's a kernel of truth that will help us. And it wasn't just Schleiermacher. I mean, I remember an article from Time magazine in 1995 where three books had been written on doubting the physical resurrection of Jesus. And I think one of those was Duke University professor Bart Ehrman, who had written that Jesus probably died a normal death and his body was eaten by dogs. It's not so much the physical resurrection that we need to be worried about. It's what the resurrection teaches us. Well, let me just say, if you're out there and you've ever doubted the physical resurrection of Jesus, the Gospels and the epistles of the New Testament will not let you go there. Friend, that is not what the Scripture teaches. The resurrection was real. Jesus was physically, bodily brought forth from the grave. Paul is arguing that point to these Corinthians. He is saying Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead physically. He came out of the tomb. His body was resurrected. And that is what we preach. And that is why this is so important, is to not just think spiritually about Jesus rising, but to think physically that he rose from the grave and that he has conquered death. And that this is a literal account. This is why for the Christian, the day of Easter is so vital, because it's a day that we continue to just uphold. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. Jesus is not a good moral teacher. He's not a sage. He's Lord. He's God. He's risen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, back in our text, verses 18 through 19. If Christ has not risen, then your faith is futile. So you can't just go with the moral teacher story. You can't just say he was a good teacher. You have to say he was God. If he's not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep, that's a euphemism for the word dead. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, who put their faith in Christ, they've perished. All of it is important. He conquered death physically. That's one reason why this doctrine and this truth is so vital and so important on Easter Sunday. But let me tell you another reason why it's important. If Christ conquered death, then you can apply that to your own self as well, if your faith is in Jesus. You too will not just be spiritually raised. You know, I said earlier that Greek thought taught the body was evil and the spirit was good. A lot of Christians today have wrongly believed that about heaven. Some of you think that heaven is going to be this place where you float around as a spirit with a halo and wings, and you sit on a cloud and you play a harp or something ridiculous like that. That is never what the scripture teaches us about heaven. Heaven is where God is. And in Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth physically come down to this place. They come together. And you will physically be resurrected. And eternity will be as real as you are sitting here right now. You will have a real resurrected body. Your body, your spirit will be brought back together on that day when Christ comes. And you'll be resurrected to eternal life. Not eternal drifting, not eternal spirits, but you will be resurrected to eternal life. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to these Corinthian people. He's saying, look, if you believe Jesus has risen from the dead, then naturally that applies to you. You also, if you are in Christ, if your faith is in Christ, you also will rise from the dead. He not only conquered his death physically, spiritually, he conquered your death physically, spiritually. So look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 22 and 23. He makes this analogy as he's arguing to these Christians. He says, it's just like this. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. Now, if you've been with us at Celtis for any time, you know we've been going through Genesis. You know we spent 8 weeks in Genesis chapter 3. And we talked about how Adam's sin was affected upon the whole human race, that because one man sinned, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And death was a consequence of sin. Well, here Paul is saying Jesus is a second Adam. He is a second beginning for the human race. And what Jesus did is he reversed everything Adam did. Adam sinned, and we all paid the price for that. We're all his progeny. We've all descended from him. We've all faced death and inherited sin. But Christ, because of him, because of his one act, we all now can be made alive. Each one in his own order. Now look back at 1 Corinthians 15, 23. Christ is the first fruits. And this is key for the Christian. You know that because Jesus rose from the dead, he is the first fruits, so that you also, if your faith and your trust is in him, you will rise from the dead. First fruits. So, you know, every year we attempt as a family to plant something. It's usually miserable. One year I tried to do a garden, and we had the worst drought in Texas history, 2011. So I vowed I would never do that again. But my wife has been buying these little pots, you know, trying to do these raised beds of tomatoes and things. And I'm always just like, let's go to the farmer's market. Let them do the work, right? But she wants to do it. I don't blame her. And so this past year when we had these pots and we had these tomatoes that we were growing, you know, we wondered, is it working? Is our little raised pot and the water we're putting in and the soil that we had, is it working? And then one day you see this vine and you see this first fruit come on it, right? This little green tomato. And it's a sign that it is working. And your thought when you see that first fruit is more is on the way, right? This isn't going to be the only tomato that's going to be produced from this batch or this vine. It's one of many. And hopefully it's going to be one that produces more and more and more. That's what Paul is trying to get across here in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23. He's saying, please understand this, believer. What Christ has done, He is the first fruits. And if he rose from the dead, then that applies to you. You also will rise from the dead as well, physically and for you spiritually, because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's so important. That's why this day is so vital for us as believers, is because we know we're looking forward to the day when Christ comes again. We're looking forward to the day. Our hope is in the second coming of Jesus, when he takes our dead bodies, raises them up, and unites our spirit with the body, and we live eternally with him. You know, that is a wonderful, glorious promise. That is a resurrection to look forward to, the final resurrection of the dead. But friends, it's only for those who, according to Scripture, have put their faith and trust in Christ alone. You can't put your faith in your works. You can't put it in your good deeds. It has to be in Jesus alone. Jesus is the only one who conquered death. Jesus is the only one who has the power over sin and death. Jesus is the only one who has hope for us beyond the grave. It's no doubt that these days that we're living in today, right now, in 2020, has brought death to the forefront of all of our minds. We may even know people that are struggling to survive right now. But listen, the truth is, and this is not morbid, it's not sad, everyone dies. But the glorious truth of the gospel, the good news, the resurrection, Easter Sunday, is that even though everyone dies, we have hope to live again. Christianity is the only religion in the world where you're promised a physical resurrection from the dead. There is no other world religion. You study them. They may talk about spiritual resurrection. They may talk about nirvana. They may talk about samsara. They may talk about all these things spiritually. But what sets Christianity apart is a physical, bodily resurrection, following in line with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, Jesus is not in the grave. He is sitting right now at the right hand of God the Father, and he is coming again. He was resurrected to never die again. He's the first fruits. There were people in the Bible that were resurrected, like Lazarus, like people who came out of the tomb when Jesus cried, "It's finished." But you know, they died again. All of them died again. But there's a resurrection coming where we will never die again. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. My hope, my joy is in that day. I hope yours is too. I hope that you have the best Easter today, knowing this, realizing this, reveling in it, and rejoicing in it. God bless you. Love you, church family. We miss you. May the Lord keep you and bless you and make his face shine upon you today.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Wilson, the pastor to families here at Celtis, and I want to thank you for tuning in to watch our online service on this great Resurrection Sunday. If you have any questions about what Pastor Mark just preached, if you have any spiritual needs, or if you just want to talk to a pastor about something, we encourage you to reach out to us. The best way to reach the pastors at Celtis is to email us at info@celtis.org. That's info@celtis.org. One of our pastors will be glad to get in touch with you right away. Also, to keep you up to date on how our church is responding to the coronavirus, canceled services, other options, please visit our website for the latest and the most up-to-date information. That address is celtis.org, celtis.org. I also want to thank you, our church family, for your faithful giving during this time. Many of you have asked how you can continue to give to your church, honoring the Lord with your tithes and offerings. And the two easiest ways are, first of all, to give online. Again, I'll direct you to our website, celtis.org, and there you'll find simple instructions on how to give online. The other way is through regular mail. You can put your check in the mail and send it to Celtis First Baptist Church and send it to our P.O. Box 3043. That's Lufkin, Texas, and the zip code is 75903. That's P.O. Box 3043, and the zip code is 75903. One of the many important reasons to continue giving to your local church right now is because we are continuing to give to our mission partners who are spread out all over the globe. They are facing the coronavirus. They are facing difficulties in doing ministry just like we are here in Lufkin, Texas. And so continue to give to them, continue to pray for them as they seek to do ministry to the lost around them. As you know, at Celtis, we like to focus on one of our mission partners each week. And this week, we will be highlighting Carl and Dana Sucraj and their family. They had intended on building an orphanage in Peru, but because of health reasons, they've been back home in the States seeking the Lord's direction for their future. But we still want to pray for them this week. So watch our private Facebook page this week for up-to-date prayer requests and praise reports from the Sucraj family. Well, I want to thank you once again on behalf of all the pastors here at Celtis First Baptist Church for tuning in to watch our Resurrection Sunday online service. We are praying the Lord's blessings on you and your family, trusting that you are staying home, staying healthy, and able to serve your neighbors around you. Well, I want to conclude our service with a benediction, and I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, where our brother preached this morning, and read to you a hope and also a challenge that the Apostle Paul gives us as believers who have resurrection hope. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Join me as we pray. Father, we are so grateful for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, and for the hope that is ours through the resurrection that we are promised because Christ was resurrected from the grave. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Help us now to live in that resurrection power, loving our neighbor as ourselves, serving others around us, especially during these times of uncertainty. We thank you for the gift of technology that allows us to worship virtually, even though we can't be together in person. We ask all these things and thank you for all that you've done in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior. Amen.